This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yes, yes, my friends, we are waiting for Aaron Rodgers, who is due to speak here within the next few minutes. We will also talk to C.J. Mosley of the New York Jets, the linebacker, later this hour. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm in for Alan Hahn today, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I'm going to do a little breaking moves first. How about some breaking moves?
Dun, hey. Dun, dun.
Or don't. Well, breaking moves is today, Bart, Cole Beasley. Now, we found out earlier that both Lamar Jackson
and
Gus Edwards had tested positive for COVID-19. So they are sidelined for the moment. Cole Beasley has been a guy that has drawn a lot of attention this offseason because he has been somebody that has been outspoken about not getting the vaccine. He spoke at Bills camp earlier. Here he is, what he had to say.
Hello?
Some people may think that I'm being selfish in making this a me thing. It is all about the young players who don't have a voice and are reaching out to me every day because they're being told if they don't get vaxxed, they'll be cut. Agents are being told by teams if they have unvaccinated guys, they will not be given opportunities as of now to be seen in workouts. So once unvaxxed players get cut, they're losing a dream they have worked their whole lives for over a vaccine that has proven to not keep people from contracting COVID as we've seen. Every doctor I've gone to with questions begins every sentence with, from what we know now, which tells me we don't know enough. The NFLPA is working to have vaccinated players tested more frequently than what the NFL initially stated. A lot of players got the vaccination with the idea that these rules were already set in stone, and they're not.
Bart, your takeaway here on Cole Beasley and the fact that he said he's not anti-vaccine, he's not pro-vaccine, he's pro-choice.
Right, pro-choice. And he wants to be the voice for the voiceless. But understanding that, you know, if you have to look at it from a franchise standpoint, why would I bring a guy in that's going to help me maybe minimum, right, if he's coming in, he's a backup or he's a special teamer, and put at risk, you know, put at risk the rest of the guys that I'm going to depend on, right? The risk isn't worth the reward. Right, I mean, I'm sitting here next to Pat Kerwin. Everybody knows Pat Kerwin, his former general manager, I believe, of the Jets. He works for Sirius Radio, and he speaks. He was making a joke in the, during the break, talking about, hey, they had to double verify to make sure that he, you know, his vaccination card was correct. And why did they do that? Because Pat Kerwin isn't on the front desk of NFL Today. He sits on the side. He helps with the research, right? But guess what? Boomer Esiason's there. Nate Burleson's there. And James Brown is there, and he has to be self-aware to understand that those guys are more important than he is. Like, you know, in sports, we separate the have from the have-nots, but also we know exactly where we stand and where we fit with the organization based on your contract, based on your value to help them win. Like, this is a private business. So I understand that Cole Beasley wants to say, okay, he should be pro-choice, but then it's also your choice to not work for your employer. Like if ESPN said, hey, Bart, you got to have, you know, take the vaccine or not be in our building and not maybe potentially have a show, then I make my decision based on what I believe in. If you believe in it and having pro-choice and not taking a vaccine that strongly enough, then that's you because your dream comes with stipulations.
Could not agree with that more. Exactly right. Nobody's civil rights are being violated here.
Right.
Okay? The choice... And I have no problem with Cole
Beasley. You had July 12th to opt out.
Yeah, and I have no problem with Cole Beasley saying that he's pro-choice for this, but it is like when you would get a company that you're going to apply to and they would require you to take a drug test. And if you didn't feel like that was something that you were comfortable doing, that's fine. But to work here at this private company... That is something that you have to do. So you don't have to work here. Cole Beasley doesn't have to work for the NFL in this kind of a situation. But if this is how they're pushing him, I understand why they're doing what they're doing because they're thinking about all of their other players and trying to keep as many of their players on the field. And the science so far, while it may not keep you directly from potentially contracting it, it also clearly, those who have been vaccinated, it takes a lot more to contract it. So, again, this is not about the actual decision about whether or not you want to do it. You can talk about being pro-choice, but understand that the choice is just not yours in terms of whether or not you want to have it.
Yeah, your team has a pro-choice, too.
Exactly. It's the teams as to whether or not they want to choose to give you that chance because you're not vaccinated.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen some of the outbreaks that happened, right? We saw some of the outbreaks that happened last year because of negligence, because guys weren't doing what they were supposed to do, because guys let their guard down. And one you know, individual can affect the group, you know, can affect many. And, you know, they want to provide the safest environment that they can for their employees. Not because I believe they care about them wholeheartedly. It's because it's their bottom line, right? Because they made promises to the TV companies that they can have certainty. So they're trying to make it as difficult as possible for you not to have the vaccine. Life as difficult as possible. Now they're saying it's going to be $14,000 fine if you find out that you were negligent in your pursuit, right? If you did something like the guys from Oakland last year, right? Because not only do you put your team at risk, you put the opposing opponent at risk as well. So they're trying to limit it, make sure that they can make it as safe as they can, because they want to make sure that they can get back to the business of making money.
This has been Breaking Moves. Hit it.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Then there's Aaron Rodgers, Bart, and we're due to hear from him in the next few minutes. And just
you're
listen
sure about
to the
that?
Exasperation in Bart's voice when we have to discuss Aaron Rodgers at this point. He's due to address the media here shortly. We will carry that as it happens within the next few minutes. But, Bart, you know, if all of this ended up being about trading for Randall Cobb, it's absolutely absurd. And, frankly, I am even more annoyed than I was a few weeks ago with having to listen to him dodge questions left and right and keep the beautiful mystery alive as to whether or not he would play this season.
Yeah, I'd much rather see him pull up in the mystery van by Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and Fred and all those
That's
guys.
That's a
man.
Beautiful mystery.
That would have been a beautiful mystery. There's nothing beautiful about Randall Cobb coming back, a guy that had 448 yards receiving. Now, yeah, he may be your man. He may be able to help you out, but I think you have a love affair what used to be. I think you're living in your hot tub time machine. And the fact that we had to wait around, we had to go and we had Charles Barkley ask him on the golf course. We had Tom Brady asking him on the golf course. We had people following him and watching him play the ukulele, hiding in between the leaves and the volcanic rocks in between Hawaii to see what he's doing and what he's thinking, how he's enjoying life. All for Randall Cobb. Really?
Yeah.
You
That's
wasted
insulting.
My life for Randall. Yes, that's extremely insulting. Right, and then it just shows me how bad of a general manager he is. Because if I have Odell Beckham out there, I got a chance to get Odell Beckham that's maybe motivated to win, and Randall Cobb, it's no contest. So maybe I'm leaning more on Gutekunst's side than Aaron Rodgers now, because I was pro Aaron Rodgers. Man, they didn't get him this, they didn't get him that, and he settled for Randall Cobb.
Well,
really?
Let's hear what Aaron has to say.
I hope that's the first question. I hope this is the first question.
Well,
Randall Cobb, really?
Aaron Rodgers, giving us the straight talk.
In the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high-character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation, not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer my services as a recruiter, you know. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March, and the conversation changed. As I felt like if you can't commit to me past 2021 and I'm not a part of recruiting process and for agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much. So when the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension. You know, based on my cap number this season, next season, it seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation. Not until into May. And that, to me, seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, some security. And the boss says, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling, you know. And so, you know, I said it wasn't about the money, and the way that felt, you know, kind of just doubled down on that. Nothing really changed throughout the summer. There were some developments in the last week or so, but you know, I was really working on myself and my own mental state throughout the summer, and. At various points deciding if I wanted to even keep playing. But, the fire still burns, and I wanted to be on a football team. And we got some things figured out in the last few days, and I'm here.
Just
go one at a time. Y'all get a chance.
Does the Randall Cobb move, is that not that's the answer, but does it show you that there's a step in the right direction from the organization's part to listen to you and respect your thoughts on personnel?
Well, look, I'm really excited Randall's coming back. He's obviously a dear friend and a guy I still believe in that can really play. He falls into that category that I mentioned earlier of guys who left here, who were high-character guys. It's the desire that I've talked about before to finish as a Packer that's always been really important to me. And it's important to those guys as well. The guys I mentioned, I talked to the majority of them this offseason because I wanted to hear their experience and how they felt leaving the team and the way it went down. So I had all the information. And I think there's a sadness underneath it all. Obviously, there's a sadness when your career ends, but a sadness that things went down the way they went down, for a team that they cared about and loved and put their bodies on the line for so many years. So to get Randall back is really special. It's something that that I talked about back in February, wanting to bring in a true slot receiver, which I thought would make our offense more dynamic, and I think Randall's a dynamic player. He has been when he's been healthy.
Aaron, was there a point over the last few months when you seriously considered retirement for this team? And at what point did you change your mind and decide to actually come back?
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness in things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play, and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
Do you expect to be a Packer next year, or what would it take for you to be one next year?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I think things are in that direction haven't really changed. At all. I think I'm just going to focus on this year. There's a lot of moving pieces besides myself, expiring contracts for a number of guys. So there's going to be a lot of tough decisions at the end of the year. I'm just going to enjoy this year and then revisit that conversation at the end of the season.
Aaron, you said many times and you reiterated it's always been your goal to finish your career as a Packer. Do you hope that this progresses to a point where you feel all right with that moving forward? You said focus on this year, but do you still stand by what you said year after year that you want to finish with
that? I did, but as you recall, I said last year that there's some things that might be out of my hands at this point. And, you know, based on them drafting my replacement, J-Lo last year, I think that kind of put things in motion. Based on the way the season went last year, there was nothing in last season that made me confident that I'd be back after 21 and maybe even not after 2020. Thought we could progress some of those conversations with maybe a greater commitment during the offseason. Like I said, that didn't happen. But that's why I just have to focus on this season. And I love this team. I love the fans. And the opportunity to play on Lambeau Field has been a dream come true. To be in my 17th season is really special. I don't take that for granted. I'm not a victim here at all. I just want to reiterate that. Like, I've been paid a ton of money by this organization. I'm so thankful to be a starter here for my 14th season. Not many guys have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not, I don't feel like anything's been done to me. It's a business. You know, it's an incredible opportunity to play this game. It's a tough business too, though. And this is part of it. So I totally get that point. And that's not lost on me. That's why I'm just going to enjoy this season like I did last year, have the right perspective, and then make decisions at the end of the season.
Aaron, you have a recall on this. Speaking, and you can catch more of that on ESPN.com and SportsCenter later as well. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Bart, I can appreciate the fact that Aaron Rodgers is speaking honestly there.
That transparency was amazing.
That's great. Is he an infant? Does he not understand how life works?
Yeah.
That you are actually sitting there and you're upset about how former teammates were released and how those things have gone down. It happens every day in the NFL. And please speak to that experience, because I understand guys get upset when they get cut.
Well, to Aaron Rodgers' point, to defend him a little bit, you know, certain organizations go about things a different way, right? It's not what you do, it's how you do it, right? And it's the humility in which you allow the teammates to walk out. Like a guy like Clay Matthews that was the Green Bay Packers that, you know, laid it all on the line, played reckless abandon, laid it all on the line, for him to be lowballed or not really given consideration or appreciation to what he'd done when it came to him becoming a free agent. And, yes, he had seen better days behind him, and he still went out and went to the Rams, and I believe had 10 sacks that next year. And it's like, you know, the devaluing of the person and not really understanding the intangibles in which they bring and not really appreciating their service. Now, I played for the Baltimore Ravens, and I watched them hold on to Ray Lewis maybe a year too late, right? But they gave him the respect to go out on the shield the right way. Certain other organizations, Jonathan Ogden as well. But some places, you know, they use you up. So basically he just called the Gutekunst and, you know, Ted Thompson and all those guys that were there leeches. They suck you dry, and when you have no more value to them, they discard you like trash.
Yeah, but I get that. Okay, you want to be upset about that. That's fine.
So he's witnessing it happening to him too, Chris, because he's saying, well, they're setting me up for this. No, it ain't about to happen to me. That's why I believe he called and asked them, because he sees that, okay, I'm next. Like, but I'm Aaron Rodgers. Why would I be next? Like, I'm okay. Aaron Rodgers.
I get that. That's all fine. And you want to be upset about it, be upset about it. But you're in the process through this whole thing. You talk about how much you love the fans. You insulted the town. Okay. And I get it. The Green Bay is not the place that everybody wants to go play. It's not a vacation destination. But you are knocking the town when you say that. You say that they are coming to play with me. Yeah. That may be true. Yeah. I'm the guy. I get that. They're coming here to try to win a Super Bowl. And then you're talking about the leverage of people in jobs every day. You guys get it. If you say, hey, I did a great job this year, maybe I deserve an extension, and they don't give it to you, it's called leverage. It happens every day. And people and businesses don't hand over money without having some reason to have to do it.
See, but Chris, this is his point. That's why he believed after he had the MVP. He didn't say this before, but after he had the MVP season, he felt like he had the leverage. So he thought that it was going to be natural. Like, hold up, this guy just went to the Super Bowl. This guy just had his one game from the Super Bowl. This guy just won MVP at his advanced age.
He got a massive contract a couple of years ago.
No, see, but you and I know that in 2020, it's a natural out in this contract. Not all contracts are created equally. They're usually extremely front-loaded, and when you get to the end of it, they have exits where you can get the guaranteed money. It's not guaranteed, so they cut you. You take a little hit, but not a crazy hit. In his contract, after this season, it's a natural out. That's why he felt like, well, that's why you heard him speak about being a lame duck quarterback, because the lame duck year for him in his contract, and he knows it's this year where he doesn't have the protections from a huge calorie cap hit. He doesn't have the leverage from the standpoint that he's protected by guaranteed money. So that's why you heard him speak about the lame duck quarterback. Like, if I'm going to be a lame duck quarterback, just go ahead and let me get out of here.
All right, that's Aaron Rodgers. C.J. Mosley of the Jets going to join us in just a few minutes as well. How does he fit into Robert Saleh's defense? We will talk to him in just moments. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We will ask C.J. about that and get his take on opting out of last year as well. In just moments. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris in for Alan today. Family is everything, and I've got peace of mind knowing my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years. Plus, quotes are free.
No, no.
Go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. We are waiting for C.J. Mosley. He should join us here in just a moment. The Jets linebacker, Bart, is out at Jets camp today. you know, Aaron Rodgers apparently, while we were away, just blamed the media for a lot of what's happened over the last several months. Meanwhile, you're the dude texting Pat McAfee every 20 minutes to let him know every single freaking story about what's going on. Please stop.
Yeah, not only texting him, going on Dan Patrick's show and doing the whole round. So, I mean, come on, man. Don't tell me the golf tournament wasn't about getting your narrative out there as well and creating suspense and beautiful mysteries and all that stuff.
Let's welcome in a guy that's not about beautiful mystery. That is C.J. Mosley of the New York Jets, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. C.J., it's Chris Carlin and Bart Scott on ESPN Radio. Appreciate a few minutes. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Can't complain, man. I saw you in person, man. You looking slim and trim, man. What was the reason for the necessary body reduction weight?
I think just better for my body, better for my mind in general. You know, one of the first things that Coach Sala talked about was how much running he's going to be doing. And I kind of got the memo after that. So I have to make sure I have to get my body right. You're at the camp, be ready for this extra added game during the season, and make sure I stay on this field as much as I can.
CJ, tell me about last year. You know, you had obviously a tough first year with the injuries you dealt with the Jets. And you opted out of last year because of COVID concerns. What was that experience like from the sidelines, kind of watching the season unfold and getting maybe a different perspective on what was going on?
Well, to start with the 19th season, it was more just frustrating, you know, coming off a game like that, you know, having a groin injury, you know, those kind of injuries, you usually can bounce back after, you know, a few weeks. And I tried to do that and ended up, you know, at the end of the day, having fourth hernia surgery. So that whole season is just a grind to try to get my body to, you know, what I can and get on the field and battle with my teammates. And, you know, with the pandemic and a 2020 season, you know, no one could control that. So, you know, that was just tough, mainly because I had to step away from the game that I've been playing since I was five. And it's just been, you know, the caliber player that I always wanted to be, and just trying to be a leader on this team. No, I wasn't able to do that, you know, obviously from the sidelines by opting out. But, you know, I always say, man, for me, it was more of a blessing in disguise. You know, even though I couldn't play, even though I wasn't able to, you know, compete with my teammates, it gave you know, my mind and body time to recover and ultimately, you know, get back to what I want to be right now, and that's be a great player and be a great leader on the team.
You know, speaking of that, CJ, and the time off, and you know, we think about the negative part, missing the game that you love, but also a byproduct of that is the fact that it allows the other injuries that you may not need surgery, but to be able to heal up and allow you to feel fresher. So, how does the body feel now, and how do you see yourself taking advantage of, you know, the new scheme that you're in with Robert Saleh? That's about, you know, a 4-3, something that you've played before, I'm sure, in your career, but something that's new to you in recent years.
My body feels great. I'm ready to go. You know, one thing with camp, you can run and you can practice all off season, but you know, once football shape and camp shape is two different things. So, just taking it day by day, as far as, you know, getting my body right for this season. And obviously, when the pass come on, that would be the next step. And as far as, you know, the defensive scheme, I feel it's fit for everyone that's going to be starting this defense. You know, athleticism, speed, simple concepts, but in great technicians on the defense and technique and doing your job every play, that's what wins your games. And that's our goal every play for the defense. You know, line up, play fast, see what we have to do, you know, and make great plays.
C.J. Mosley, linebacker for the Jets, joining Chris Carlin, Bart Scott here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus via the Goodyear Hotline. C.J., 2 years away from the game, basically, without being on the field because of the injuries and because of last year. Physically, how are you feeling, and how big of an adjustment is this going to be to get back into what you were just talking about, the flow of it all, the shape of it all?
Physically, I feel well. As far as, you know, the flow of just football in general, for me, I feel like it hasn't been any setback. Mainly because I was here for, you know, the off-season program, OTAs, mini camp. So if there was any rust or any doubt in anyone's mind, you know, I accomplished that, I feel, and during this off-season program. And like I said, you know, the next step will be, you know, getting ready for the pass. And you know, when that time comes, it will come. And, you know, I mentally know that I can still hit because I've been doing it so long. But, you know, it's just putting the pads on and getting out there and do it. And that's, at the end of the day, that's my job. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, I'm not adding any extra stress or thinking too low or too high on the things. Just the next steps to, you know, competing and to win the games this year.
I tell you what, man, when I look at this roster and what they were able to do in front of you, you know, Joe Douglas kind of coming from Baltimore, kind of understanding that the game is won in the trenches. You know, how excited and how much are you looking forward to playing behind a more mature Quinnen Williams, but also Sheldon Rankins if he's able to get back to his form, and a guy like Carl Lawson, and knowing that you got a guy like Foley Fadakasi who seems to take the next step. How excited are you from playing in front of these guys, and how, what's the motivation to kind of remind everybody who you were? Because, you know, 2 years ago you were considered the best or, you know, top two, top three linebacker in the game. Have we forgotten about you?
Well, they always say to play do the talking. So that's what I have to do. I have to put my play on film, put my play on television, you know, and let the world decide on that. But I know that I'm capable, more than ready to, you know, get back on the field and do what I've been doing. And just as far as the pieces that we put together on this team, on the field and off the field, upstairs, downstairs, all around this building, I think it's going to the right steps. It's going to, you know, build a foundation, you know, for this organization to be great and to be in every single game and have a chance to win. Because that's why everyone came here, and that's the mindset that I want everyone to have. You know, when we turn on one just drive, our mentality is to be coming here to win games, and that's the only thing it should be.
C.J. Mosley, the Jets linebacker, joining us on Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. C.J., as you know, wanting to be one of the leaders of this team, what's your take on Zach Wilson not being in camp as of yet?
The NFL is a business. That's all I can say with that. I know from what I've seen from him at OTAs, you know, he wants to be here. I mean, when he gets here, he's going to get here. You know, I can only say so much about that because I'm not in his situation. But at the end of the day, the NFL is a business, and everybody's going to work things out. And once you get here, you're going to keep things rolling.
CJ, how about Robert Saleh? You know, this is a guy that brings an incompletely new kind of energy to the situation. Describe what he's been like behind the scenes so far.
I'm full of energy, eager, ready to compete. That's the best way I can put it. And when he first, you know, talked to the team, it was virtually at the time. We were still doing virtual meetings. But when he first talked to the team, and he told us about the all gas, no break mentality. And that's what he's brought to the table every day. You know, he was fired up today for the first day of practice. So when we get the pass on, that's going to be the next steps for our team, as far as finding our identity, you know, as far as being violent, you know, being a physical team, being a fast team, and we just got to take it one day at a time.
Hey, CJ, what's some of the internal conversations that are taking place in the locker room about vaccinations, no vaccinations, you know, the NFL and all the rules that they're putting in to kind of steer players to getting vaccinated? You know, as a player that opted out, you know, what's the conversation that you guys may be having just kind of in trying to discuss and educate each other?
Well, one, you've been a former player in the NFL. The first thing that popped up was the fine system. You know, where did these numbers come from? That's always the first question. But on a serious note, you know, guys still ask questions. They still talk to my medical doctors. They still... You know, some players still go to other players and ask, you know, ask the vaccinated player, you know, which shot did they take and, you know, how do they feel and this and that. So, I mean, players still want to know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's a self-decision. So if a player chooses not to get it, you know, that's their choice. And there's no player that's vaccinated that's trying to, you know, force a guy that's unvaccinated to get it. So, I mean, it's all pro-choice here from top to bottom.
You know, being one of the players that got a lot of cheese on your taco, man, how would you feel like if a guy didn't get vaccinated and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do and cost you a game check? Like, is this something that the NFL may be setting up a team maybe to kind of be split inside of the locker room? Because if somebody cost me a game check and, you know, I got a nice contract, I've already spent that money mentally in my mind, and I lose the cheese off my taco, I mean, it might be some fisticuffs.
Well, you can't put that blame on the NFL because every, you know, when a man makes a decision, it's their decision. So they have to live with those consequences. So if a player chooses not to get vaccinated, you know, they know 100% what they can and cannot do. And if they go out and still do it, you know, they saying they don't really care about themselves or the team. So that all that doesn't really go on the NFL. That goes on the individual and how they really feel about, you know, about their coaches, about their team, about the organization. And, you know, whether it's here, whether it's anywhere else, hopefully that doesn't happen anywhere. You know, that'll probably be more of an internal thing because, like you said, that's taking away everybody's money, opposing team and the home team. So that's, and you really gotta be a selfish guy to do something like that. So I feel like we don't have those kind of players on this team. I feel like everybody's in the right mindset that we're, whether vaccinated or unvaccinated, you know, we're gonna do the right thing as far as each other, as far as the team on and off the field.
CJ, awesome stuff. Looking forward to seeing you back on the field this fall. Thanks again for a few minutes.
And don't make them forget about me too fast, CJ. I know we wear the same number. You made the Ravens forget about me. Now you want to make the Jets forget about me. Leave me some shine.
Can't wait. Don't worry. You'll never go away.
CJ Mosley of the Jets joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. When you bundle auto, home, and motorcycle insurance, you can save big money. Visit Progressive.com. Is this the end of the Aaron Rodgers saga, or is there still another chapter to come? That's next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Progressive, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Bart, got 20 seconds left. Give me 20 seconds on Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I think he at least stepped to the plate and said everything that he was supposed to say. I mean, he was reportedly out there for 40 minutes. Listen, with Randall Cobb, will he make the difference? I don't know. But if Aaron Rodgers believes so, a team that was 13-3, maybe if this team gets the chemistry, maybe they can be.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of the entire situation, and I know that Rodgers was honest, good for him, but that doesn't exactly wrap it up for me. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
I think they got prime rib, Chris. I'm about to go enjoy myself.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.